Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Irvis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Irvis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here on this special Election Week program. We're not doing election stuff now, but we will do the NBA report as we start our next season of NBA coverage with our co-host Chris in Georgia. It is part of what could be potentially a three-podcast week. We will definitely have our football pick show tomorrow. We may do an election recap with my good friend Jacob Rosales-Hunt, who is now big. Well, he's always been big on the scene of politics because he came up as a political science major. Maybe not something you had known, because whenever I have had him on in the past, it was to talk about the 49ers. But he's definitely into it and he knows his stuff. So I hopefully we'll get together and do a show tomorrow, and we'll talk about what happened in the election. It's a very exciting election no matter what happens, and I'm sure people have a lot of issues that they'll be talking about, but it is the mechanics of it are really, really fascinating, so I'm excited to see how it ends up. I put in my votes and by mail. A lot of people went out to the polls to vote today, so it's good to see democracy at work. So let's get into basketball now. A lot to talk about, And we have some really hot team to talk about and some incredibly cold starts for some of the more veteran teams that we know in the association. Let's jump it. The NBA report for November 6th. This is our first of several podcasts we're going to do throughout the NBA season for the 2018-19 season. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring in our co-host for the NBA year, and that is Chris in Georgia. Chris, it's good to have you back. Hope you're doing all right out there. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you back. Yeah, it's sounding great too, by the way. Just good to get that going and get that in the mix. I'm on a different laptop for this week just to test it out to see if the Mac is the real thing with audio. But everything good, and basketball doing pretty well to start. We could start at any number of places. There's only one game going on as we start the recording tonight, and it's the Mavericks against the Wizards. The Mavs are way up, 58-36, and you talk about a Wizards team where I think things are starting to come apart at the seams. You know, that this team picked up Dwight Howard in the offseason. We both predicted that this could be a drain on their chemistry, which is already fading. So, and Wall is probably at the forefront of what the issues are, as you said to me, with the Wizards. Anyway, if you're watching the game tonight, any thoughts from what you've seen so far? Oh, you're not even watching that game. I think you said you're watching the Suns game, but from what you've seen, oh man, we're rusty. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, I got Suns Nets on. Yeah, I mean, so Washington, they, you know, we've known for years now that. They're kind of dysfunctional, right? I mean, Beal and Wall hate each other. And I don't know, this is like 5 years in and those two guys are still there and no changes really.
I know.
Except we add Dwight Howard to the mix, which is, never a recipe for success. And so predictable results in a way. They were my one team in the East that I thought was going to implode. And so far I've been right there. Haven't been right about a lot of things, but that one I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think you picked him as one of the unders, right? For our season?
Oh, shoot.
I'll go back and look that up, because I wrote it down on our website.
Okay.
I'll double check that. Because I don't remember what I picked either. I think I remember picking the Lakers or the over. That's got a chance, even though they're not above 500 yet, but I still think that's got a chance. So I'll look that up. But
yeah, I know I picked Houston on the over, and that's looking rough. We'll get to them later.
It's true.
And I picked Detroit on the under. I know that. I'm trying to go from memory here. I didn't.
You
write
did
them down.
Pick that. Yeah, I just queued it up. So here are your over unders that we picked on our preview podcast. That's on our feed too. If you go check it out at ditcow.com. So your over unders. You had Hawks under 23. Oh, that looks good. That looks pretty good. Pistons under 38.5. You got a bit of a scare week one, but they actually will probably be right around there. And the Rockets, you're right. You had them in the over 57, and it's tough sledding for them so far.
Yeah, it's looking rough.
Yeah, and you know, with the Rockets, it's a team that I think chemistry is going to get called into question because of the addition of Carmelo Anthony, which really shouldn't make a difference to me. But he's tended to be tough to have to build a team around. Well, not only tough to build a team around, but tough to have on a team. You know, I don't think he really takes the position of role player willingly. And we saw a little bit of that last year in Oklahoma City. So it's a bit of a mess. Before we get to that, I'll give you the over-unders I had. I had Lakers over 48. That does seem like a lot now. I mean, the way they started and their defense is so bad. But Wizards under 46 looks good. I mean, they have how many wins right now? Like one or two? Not a lot. So that looks good. And the third one was Suns under 29. And even with the unlikely win against Memphis on Sunday, I think that still looks pretty hot. So, and by the way, you're watching them right now. What's the story on that game?
It is. I think the Suns have a 1-point lead right now. They're playing the Nets, just so you know. And but very early going.
Yeah, definitely. For this game, the point spread had been going back and forth. And at the point that I looked at it this morning, it looked like it was a pick 'em. Like, nobody was favored. It was like 0 points spread for either side. So the people in Vegas had no idea how to pick a winner in this one. And so it's predictably going to be a close game, and that seems to be where we are right now. So the Suns definitely in that tankathon. Mavericks in that tankathon. But what does it say about the Wizards if the Mavericks are killing the Wizards like they are right now, and they're 2-7? The Mavs are 2-7, and they're killing the Wizards. I mean, at least what you know, the difference is here that the Mavericks have young players and they've got upside. They got somewhere to go. Wizards are going nowhere.
Yeah. I think they have to, I think they really need to clean house.
Yeah.
Ernie Grunfeld's been there, I think 15 years or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Running the show. And, if they're going to rebuild, and I think they need to, he might not be the guy to do it at this point.
Yeah. And when you're there that long, eventually especially if the team starts struggling like this, I think the ownership is going to see that, you know what, we're not going to get any further than we already are without completely cleaning house. And we've seen many organizations do it. So I think if the Washington Wizards, almost at Nationals, because it's kind of the same thing. They got to kind of they're in a similar position. They're going to probably have to clean house too. I'm curious as to whether Mike Rizzo over there is going to end up hanging around. I mean, they've had all these talented teams and they can't get out of the first round. I mean, someone's going to have to answer for that. Bryce Harper might leave. I did see a report today that he might end up getting a contract from them, a big offer. But either way, I think they might have to reconsider that. So all the Washington teams are poorly run. I mean, the Redskins are the same scenario. Like nobody seems to be good ownership in DC. It's just kind of a mess.
What about the Cup champions? Are you got?
Oh,
you got the Caps.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, you're right. Caps got it done. That was pretty cool to watch. Did you end up seeing that final, the Cup final last year?
I watched a fair amount of it, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
But I get so wrapped up in the hoops, it's, you know, I don't watch nearly as much hockey as I'd like.
I see. Yeah, it was really cool to see Ovechkin get the cup. I mean, that's heart and soul right there. I mean, that was a great moment. I'll never forget it. I mean, he earned it. He'd been through a lot of crap, a lot of early exits for the Capitals, and they overcame that and won. And what's so weird is that the coach of that team, Barry Trotz, carries the team to a cup, and then like only weeks later they let him go, and it's like, what? You just won the cup with that guy. Like, you're letting him go? And so he's now with the Islanders, and the Islanders are off to a great start. So, you know, that
he's coach, a good coach.
Good coach, exactly. You know him well, right?
Yeah. He was long time coach with the Predators. I mean, almost every – since I started following him, he was the coach until, mm-hmm. you know, until I guess 2 years ago when they – or actually it's been 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
Since – yeah. But, yeah, great coach. Always, like – they always seem to have these, like, really – I don't know if it's just a product of the way the teams were built, but they're always very defensive-minded. And I'm not sure that necessarily was his philosophy. I think it was more the front office doing that. But yeah, no, I liked him. It surprised me that he wasn't back with Washington. I didn't fully understand that.
Yeah, I mean it was a situation where the contract expired and they were going to offer him like to take his option or something like that. And it just really surprised me they wouldn't offer him a big extension. That's such a cheap move to make.
So maybe all the Washington teams are poorly run and your initial thesis was correct. And this is just another example.
It's so funny. It's just like, man, how do you blow that? It's crazy. I mean, and it's just different things on different teams. Like one of them is cheap and one of them just overspends on bad talent. And then one of them just have been hanging on to their guys too long, and that's where we are with the Wizards. So yeah, I don't know. They really gotta really refocus, completely change their philosophy and their culture. They're gonna need to really redo that front. You're right. I think they gotta get rid of the GM. It's been too long. I mean, the Lakers had it with Kupchak and he stayed on too long too. And we'll see what happens there. By the way, on the Charlotte Hornets, who are claiming that it's their 30th anniversary this year, which is hilarious because this team used to start off as a Bobcats, but they are saying they are the original Charlotte Hornets, but they just took over the name or something. I don't know. It's a mess. But they're kind of taking the Cleveland Browns scenario. We're like, okay, we're back to being the Hornets again. It's like, okay, well, fair enough, I guess. But you say it's your 30th year. I'm like, no, it isn't. If you're... Because the Hornets were, if you're really going to go by that, I don't know. Were they inactive? No, I guess that maybe the changeover from Bobcats to Hornets coincided with the Pelicans being the Pelicans from the original Hornets. So
yep.
I guess they're assuming that, well, the franchise moved back to Charlotte, but isn't really what happened. The name moved back to Charlotte and the team stayed the same. But, it's like it also reminds me of this moment. Do you remember this where I think the owners of the Celtics and the Clippers like traded places? And so there's this theory that the Clippers are technically the Celtics and vice versa. It's just kind of nuts.
I've never heard that. Really?
Well, what happened was they switched owners. Like the owners like switched places or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something really weird like that happened in the 70s or at some point. And so ultimately... At least in theory, like the two teams moved places, but what happened was that the owners just switched and traded for each other or something crazy like that. It was pretty nuts. Like it's kind of mind blowing to think of that. But back to the here and now. Do you think that the Hornets could be in on this tankathon? Because they're off to a decent start. They've already got good talent on the team. They're 5-5. And I'm assuming they're going to win tonight, so they'll be 6-5 after that. Do you see them as a team that can keep up that pace?
You know what? I mean, I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt all year. I don't see them falling off that pace. I like what I've seen so far. I mean, I've only watched a little bit, but. They have this rookie Bridges looks really good, and I think Malik Monk has played a lot better this year. It's going to come on, so I'm on board, and I like the new coach Borrego, and I think I don't think they're going to be bad. I really don't.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Walker, but Kemba Walker is another guy that seems to be a pretty fun player to watch. So overall, I think they'll at least be interesting. You know, there are a few teams like that this year. Charlotte's going to be an interesting team. Where, you know, they'll be decent, not great, but not terrible. And I think that's what we looked at tonight. Officially, we can tell you that they did win the game. They won by 11 points, 113 to 102 over the Atlanta Hawks. So that's a nice win for the Hornets. They were pretty close with them early. They pulled away. They did pretty well. So a good job out of them tonight. So that's one of the teams. Clippers, another one. They beat Minnesota last night, 120 to 109. It's not a team with any necessarily household names, but it's a very fun team to watch. And I wanted to get your thoughts on them, too. I mean, they've got some young players and a couple of veterans, but they seem to be functioning a lot better. They seem to have established a new identity as a faster team, as a more athletic team, and as a more wide-open team than they used to be with Paul and Jordan. It really has changed a lot. I mean, I've noticed that. Remember, we talked about last year, Graham Harrell, or Montrezl Harrell, excuse me, was like doing all the stuff that DJ did, but doing it better and with more lasting ability because he's younger. So he just seemed to be doing a better job of the DJ role than DJ was doing. So you see more of that this year. They're very active. You got guys like Tobias Harris and Lou, and you've got Patrick Beverley back, so their defense isn't that bad either. It's just a fun team. What were you thinking about when you looked at the Clippers in the first few games this season?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. They're one of my league pass teams just because I like a lot of their players. Like, you know, Gallinari's playing great. I mean, knock on wood, he won't get hurt, but it's everything. An even 20 points per game right now, and looking good, shooting 45% from three, which is like amazing. And Tobias Harris, I've always been a big fan of. And then they're extremely deep. Lou Williams again having a solid year, and Harrell again too. And I just think they really built up that depth, totally changed the face of the team from a year ago. I mean, think about it. Last year, Blake Griffin is there, and they're looking. The whole team is kind of built around him. And then they pull off that blockbuster trade, and yeah, I mean they were able to lure Luke Mavute and one of my personal favorite players, Boban Marjanovic, who has been getting more minutes, and I think he got a few starts under his belt this year. So, they're a super fun team, Dave. I haven't watched a ton of them yet, but I will check them out a lot as the season progresses.
Yeah, definitely.
And one thing I mentioned in our preview is just how deep they are.
Yeah.
You know, like Milos Teodosic last year was like, I mean, he was getting like starter minutes. This year, I mean, he's averaging like 11 minutes a game, and he's a solid player, good point guard, probably more of a backup point guard, but with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the rookie, and Avery Bradley and Beverly, they've got a very deep guard rotation. So minutes are hard to come by for some of these guys, but I love that. I love that they have this deep team, and they can be very creative when it comes to the deadline, and they can, they can deal off some of these guys if they want to, and get some picks, you know. So they'll be fun to watch just because they have so much depth, and because they can move some of these pieces around if they really want to. Like Avery Bradley is potentially like one of those pieces I could see maybe shipping off to a contender if they do fall out of it.
Yeah, good question. I don't know if they, and I am interested to see how long they'll stay in the playoff race. I mean, to me, it's a very small sample size, but what I've seen suggests to me that they could be a playoff team. Probably a lower rung playoff team, but still a playoff team. I think they're going to do a pretty good job of beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, at least from my point of view of it. There were a couple of bad losses that they've had recently that in the early going. One in particular was at Oklahoma City, where they gave up a 20-0 run, a 20-0 run in the second half. That is terrible. I mean, they've come back from that, but that is, can you imagine that? Like, you're up a good amount of points and you give up 20 unanswered in the second half on the road.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine it.
Yeah. They've actually had a fairly tough schedule. They played Oklahoma City twice already. They played the Rockets.
Mm-hmm. Well, they killed the Rockets though. That was fascinating. They just crushed the Rockets.
Yeah. 133 to 113. They actually beat them twice so far.
Yeah.
So, and they played, you know, they played some tough teams. They lost at the Sixers, but yeah, no, I mean, you know, 6-4, nothing to sneeze at. It's so early though. I just can't. I look at the records and I can't take too much away from it at this point. I mean, you know, you want to look at like Denver 9-1. That you know, that's impressive. But I can't go crazy like a 6-4 team. You know. Just look how quickly that could swing and which way that, you know, how that could go. I can't get too nuts over it. I think they'll be like in the hunt and sort of on the lower end like they were last year. But I think things will even out. I think, you know, teams like Houston and Utah especially will and probably even the Pelicans will start to play to their potential and you know, kind of push some of the lower teams out of the West, but it'll be fun. The West is so crazy. You know, at least it was last year in terms of that seeding. I mean, there were like six teams within like, you know, like three or four games of each other.
Yeah.
It was really nuts.
It is hard to imagine one of these teams falling out right now. Although there are a couple of them that are currently 4, 5, and 6 that you're probably thinking, well, this is gonna level out. And you were not buying the Kings at all. I remember that conversation. The Spurs, what do you think of them? Like with DeMar DeRozan, they traded Kawhi and they got DeMar basically in exchange. But they've been surprisingly good to start the year at 6-3. So between now, I know you're thinking the Kings are going to fall off. But if you look at those two teams, do you think that either one of them will have the staying power to be a playoff contender?
Yeah, I mean, everyone was down on the Spurs because they lost Deontay Murray right before the season started. I mean, he's out for the season. You can't underestimate Pop though. I mean, they're fine. And DeRozan, you know, DeRozan looks like a different player. I mean, he's playing good defense now. He still can't shoot the three, but his numbers are much better. And you know, he's like I said, he's getting almost across the board. If you look at his numbers, his steals are about the same, but rebounding is up. I believe his field goal percentage from a year ago he's shooting over 50% from the floor. Again, small sample, but averaging 27 points a game, and his rebounding's up pretty significantly too. He's averaging five rebounds a game. He just looks like a different player from what I've seen. So I mean, there's a lot to be excited. I mean, and you know, you forget they still have really good players. LaMarcus Aldridge is great, and DeRozan and Gay, of course. You know, they could use a point guard for sure, but you know, they're going to be fine. They're definitely in the playoff hunt. I think. I mean, I don't see any way. You know, I just don't think there's eight teams better than them in the West.
Yeah, probably don't see eight teams better than them, right? I mean, because I think if you know the Warriors are in, I think the Rockets are going to come out of their funk and get in. I can't explain why they were starting so badly, though. Do you have any feel for that? Like, why did they tank so much in the beginning of the year? They weren't even playing hard teams, honestly. Like, the Oklahoma City game. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different game. But, you know, the Clippers, the two Clipper games, and one other loss that escapes me. I think the Lakers should have beat him.
The
too.
Lakers.
Yeah.
The Lakers did beat him.
They beat him. Oh, yeah. They did beat him once. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's pretty nuts, right? Like, is it just a matter of trying to integrate? I can't imagine why Carmelo Anthony would be this big a deal. Like, he's just comes off the bench and shoots. Like, why would that be a problem for them to integrate? That seems like an easy thing to integrate into your team. I know they lost Trevor Ariza, and maybe that was glue from the defensive end.
Yeah.
But personally, I don't see a lot of change on this team. I mean, what could have happened?
Well, I mean, for one, they've been pretty banged up. I mean, Harden's only played 6 games so far.
Mm-hmm.
They did lose James Ennis. He's also played 6 games, and he was sort of the replacement for Ariza because he plays that kind of defensive, you know, 3-and-D kind of guy. And then, I think integrating Carmelo, it just, you know, he's such a defensive liability that, it was really hard to make it work. And like, when you think about it, they were a top 5 defensive team last year, in terms of defensive rating. And this year they are currently ranked 19th. So they're in the bottom third in defensive rating. So, I definitely think they miss a reason, not just, you know, also as an offensive player, but they've just been banged up, and like losing Harden for a few games, and Paul actually has only played 7 games too. So, they've been a little short, and so I don't know that they'll go over on 57, but I think they'll be fine. Assuming everyone comes back healthy, I worry about, Paul, especially just because he's at that magical, what do we say, Dave? 34 is the magical age. He's 34, I think, this year. So that is a area of concern. If I'm a Rockets fan, how much durability does he have? He's actually still 33. I think he's turning 34 this year. So something to keep your eye on. And yeah, I mean, they did lose other key defensive players. Like I mentioned, Luke Bamute went to the Clippers. So they were able to keep Clint Cabello, which is huge. But it's just, you know, that I think they're just kind of finding their way. I think they'll be okay. What'll be interesting to watch is that they made that crazy offer of, was it 4 number one picks? To the Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler. And be interesting to see, A, if that's still on the table, and B, if the Wolves are willing to trade Butler. The whole thing's a huge mystery to me at this point. But
yeah,
you got to think, if they're offering that and it's still on the table, at some point, even if Thibodeau doesn't want to make the deal, someone in the front office is thinking, look, long term, you know, Tibbs might not be here, but 4 first round picks is nothing to sneeze at. And if Butler's not here, and you know, next year, we may not have anything to show for it. So, and plus, yeah, he's just, you know, he's sitting out and he's not playing, and it's a big pain in the neck. So, keep your eye on that scenario.
Oh,
I don't know what, I mean, they'd have to trade some salary ballast to get, you know, to make it work. But I'm sure they could figure something out. And if they got Butler and kept Paul and Harden, that could be an interesting team. Plus, Butler's a really good defensive guard. So,
right.
That would be fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch, but I'm surprised they would have the cap room to do that. Like, I'm curious as to how they'll work that out. But maybe you broke that down already, but just the concept of it, like, where are they going to fit the salary part of it in? That would be remarkable if they could do it, though. I know they cleared some cap space, as you just mentioned, like all these transactions helped them with that, but
yeah, they'd have to include like an Eric Gordon. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what Butler is making. I'll have to just take a quick peek.
Okay.
He's
playing well to start the year, though. I mean, I've seen him in a couple games, and he's playing hard. He hasn't really laid up at all. He's been giving everything. So
I think he'll be ready for any contending team.
Yeah, Butler's making $20 million, and I'm just looking at their roster. I mean, they might have to do like a two-for-one with the picks. I don't know. You know, like Eric Gordon.
You think they'd get away with trading Carmelo? That would be ridiculous if part of the Wolves if they did that. There's no.
Well, here's the thing: Melo's only making $2.3 million with
true.
The Rockets.
That's true.
Because
they bought him out already.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Well, I think the Hawks bought him out officially, so the Hawks are paying him to play for Houston. So even if they traded Melo, it wouldn't do them too much good.
That's true. The cap is not a factor anymore.
Yeah, so. I would have to think it would have to center around like an Eric Gordon, and someone else just to make those numbers match up.
Yeah,
but what? I don't know. We'll see.
What other contending teams do you think would be a viable fit when you consider all the trade ramifications, tradable assets, and all that for Jimmy Butler during the season? Now, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he thought the Clippers could even make the trade themselves. But I don't know if that's a good call, because why do that when you could just get him in the offseason in free agency anyway? So I don't know about the Clippers per se, but I mean the basketball aspect of it is great, but it's just that, you know, it seems like a waste to trade all these guys away to get him when you could just buy, you know, just get him as a free agent later. So yeah, I mean, what other teams do you think could be candidates for this kind of a trade?
Well, I think, honestly, I think teams will be reticent to deal for him just because, one, he's just been just kind of a pain in the neck with Minnesota. And we talked about it on our last show about how he, right before the season started, he had that tirade in practice and was just kind of belittling his teammates. And, so there's that aspect. And the other side of it, too, is just that he's kind of said, there's only a few teams I want to play for. And it was, I'm trying to remember, it was the Knicks, Nets, Clippers, and was it Miami? Might have been Miami. I forget. There were like four teams, if I remember correctly. But it was, yeah, you don't often hear the three of the teams I want to go to are the Knicks, the Nets, or the Clippers. But there you have it. So I mean, like right away, you know, he has a preference as far as where he wants to play or who he wants to play for. And so I got to think, unless a team is in serious contention, you know, they don't want that headache and they don't want to, you know, deal with the possibility of him leaving. And but Houston is interesting though. Like if they could work him into that mix, that would be exciting. Cause like I said, he's still an elite defensive player and I think he could fit in nicely, and add some more scoring punch. And, he'd be like he'd fill in that Ariza spot really, really nicely.
Yeah. It's, no, you're right. Cause his defense does look pretty good too. When he's really motivated, his defense could be really good. So, no, that's good. Definitely one to watch, no doubt. let's see. What else can we look at here? Let's get into... Well, we've already covered the Wizards. We talked about the Rockets already. Other disappointing teams, meaning teams that should be much better than they are. I am definitely surprised the Jazz are under 500 right now. But to be fair, Donovan Mitchell has not been 100%. Like, he's been hurt this week for sure. So I don't know if that's necessarily a surprise to see them at 4-6 right now. They played Toronto, and I learned in my research after the fact that Toronto just destroys them. So it's not even that surprising that they lost. That's as good as I have as far as other disappointments. I can't put the Lakers there because... We knew that it was going to take a while for them to really put things together. Their defense has been bad for years. It's not like all of a sudden it's going to get good because they took in another couple of old guys. However, we do agree that JaVale McGee is having an amazing start to his year,
And a lot of people, including LeBron, have called for him to be considered the defensive player of the year. And if you watch him play, he's really playing very, very well. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say he's the defensive player of the year, but he's played really, really actively under the boards. So he's playing good defense, but the people on the outside are the ones that don't play any defense. And you're seeing a lot of guards just either slash the get into the paint or try or can these three-pointers. And so that's basically where the problems are with the Lakers right now. The defense is a very clear deficiency, which nobody's really surprised about. So that's why I don't consider them a disappointment, because it's about what they thought they were going to do. Pistons, though, 4-5. The two of us didn't think this is a surprise, but I bet you some people do think that's a surprise based on how they started the year, which isn't saying much. I mean, starting that year. But how about the 76ers at 6-5? And Coach Brett Brown came out recently and said that they are not among East royalty. Wow. So he's not impressed with his own team. So I can't imagine that they that anyone else thinks they're impressive either. So talk about some of these disappointing starts to some of the teams that should be better than they actually are.
Well, I got to go. One thing that I got to go back to is JaVale McGee, just because I always sort of liked him. I mean, I felt bad. He was always kind of a punchline on Shaq and a Fool, you know, that video series that Shaquille O'Neal put together, and he was always making fun of McGee. JaVale McGee is leading the league in block shots right now, averaging 3.4 a game. I don't know if he's defensive player of the year, but you know, he's done really nicely. And of all the Lakers signings, I mean, that was not one that had me scratching my head. I thought it was fine. I mean, center is not as nearly as important a position as it once was, but I thought he could fit nicely with the Lakers. Who else did we talk about? Oh, Utah. Yeah, Utah's interesting because, as you pointed out, they've been missing Mitchell. He's only played, let's see, he's played, eight games so and sat out like the last three or four, if I'm not mistaken. What surprised me is they were an elite defensive team a year ago, and that so far hasn't been the case. I mean, they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack team, ranked number 16 so far. And whether they can turn that around is really the question, because they, after Mitchell, their scoring is just, you know, I mean, and this is something we talked about last year in the playoffs. It's just like, you don't know where it's going to come from. Is it Ingles? You know, is it Rudy Gobert? I mean, they have options, but you're not looking at one of those guys to score 28 a game. If Mitchell's not playing, I need to watch a little bit more. I just haven't seen a ton of Jazz games so far, but yeah, that's the thing that concerns me, just the fact that they haven't played great defense, and you know, that's another interesting trend, and something that we haven't really talked about. It's just that offensive numbers are way up. I mean, you've just seen some crazy scores. Teams scoring 140, 130. And it seems like the pace of play has made a big difference. I mean, I've watched some of these games, and I actually went to a Hawks game, and it just seemed like the shot clock wasn't getting down to 18, and they were taking a shot, and it was I'm not sure what's behind that. I mean, I know there's a theory about the changes to the shot clock rules actually, you know, because the shot clock doesn't reset to 24 now. If you get an offensive rebound, it goes to 14. I'm not exactly sure, but definitely it's had an impact on Utah for sure. Because yeah, they were an elite defensive team last year, and right now they're just kind of okay. They've played some, you know, they've had some tough matchups. They lost to the Warriors, and they've actually lost to the Grizzlies twice, who are actually a bit of a surprise, Dave. And you know, they lost to at Denver two nights ago. So they haven't played an easy schedule either. And I think they'll bounce back. They've you know, they'll be fine. Whether they're, you know, the third team in the West, like someone was predicting, is another story. But I think they'll be fine to make the playoffs.
All right. Well, I don't
just be clear. I was the one saying number three in the West.
I hear you. You know, I still think Utah is a playoff team myself. I don't think we should panic over this at all. And this is where you got to be careful. And I jumped the gun with the Kings of, oh, they're a good team now. Like, no, they're not. Their record means nothing. They're probably going to end up being buried in the division again in about 2 months. So the Sacramento Kings, look, there are a couple of guys there that are fun to watch. They do score more, but no, they're not a good team. Like, we shouldn't pretend that they are. That's a bit of a mess. Speaking of messes, 76ers, and we both were down on them. We both thought that they were going to take a step back, and it seems to be playing out that way so far. And I just think there's too many cooks in the kitchen. They can't decide minutes between Fultz or between Embiid or Simmons, and there's a lot of talent, but it's almost like too much talent. Like, they haven't really, they've got some individually good players, but they don't seem to have a team. And it's just the weirdest thing. It's like, I think they're trying to work out who feeds off of who plays when, how many, who's going to be starting, who's going to be in the bench. I do think they got to play Simmons more minutes than Fultz overall. But the thing about Simmons is that he's, you know, the reputation is he can't shoot. So it does create some real complications with that team. So I haven't seen enough of them to really have a complete analysis of them, but my feel of it so far is that they've got a lot of individually good pieces, but they can't figure out how to get them to all work off each other yet. So it's a bit of a mystery. Are you surprised that the Sixers are starting off this slowly?
Well, I did. I still thought they were, you know, a top three team in the East. The problem with them is just, well, I mean, there's a couple things. One, I mean, the main thing is that when they went on that hot streak and it was at the end of the season and all of a sudden they started leapfrogging teams as we got near playoff time, and then they end up with a three seed. It was three, right? I'll have to double check that. But the problem was that they, you know, they had these shooters all of a sudden, and you know, they could, you know, they were, you know, here's the problem. So you have Simmons, who, as you pointed out, is not a very good shooting, as a good shooter. He's a great player. He does everything except shoot the ball. You add Fultz into the starting rotation. Again, another guy who can't shoot the ball. Two of your five starters cannot shoot, cannot have no confidence in their jump shot. And that's a real problem. So like last year right after the trade deadline, they got Marco Bellinelli and Ilyasova, and both those guys really chipped in, and they got hot at the right time too, and helped the Sixers make that run, and that was a huge piece. So you know, both those guys are gone now, and what you're looking at now is a team that that really has one super reliable shooter, and that is Redick, JJ Redick. But I thought moving Fultz into the starting point guard spot was a huge mistake, just because it, you know, again, you're becoming over reliant on you know, getting these two guys points in the paint and nothing really to balance it out. And so so that's the biggest problem there. And it kind of mystified me a little bit in the offseason that they really didn't try to bolster and go for like a 3-and-D guy and bolster their 3-point shooting. Like, so in some ways it's a surprise. I think they'll be able to get someone on the cheap and fix that. You know, Jimmy Butler wouldn't be the perfect fit. I mean, he's not really that jump shooter from outside that you would want. I mean, he's okay, but not great in that role. So yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. And who else were we? You mentioned Detroit. Detroit got off to that hot start, and really, just if you look at their early schedule, they just did not play anyone solid. I mean, they started out, they beat the Nets, they beat the Bulls, they won at home against the Sixers in overtime, and they beat the Cavaliers. And three of those teams are probably lottery. So they start 4-0, and then they lost back-to-back games to the Celtics, 4-2. And then since then they've lost five straight. They've lost five straight games. So they lost at the Nets, at Sixers, and home to the Heat in overtime. They were one of my unders. I started to get a little freaked out because they were winning too much early on. But I'm just not a huge fan of that team, the chemistry. Nice story. I mean, Blake had 50 that one game, but other than that, I'm sticking with my guns. I if Blake plays this whole season, I'll be shocked.
Right.
And I see them come back to earth. And then I think you also mentioned Sacramento, and another, sort of early season interesting story, because they got off to that hot start. They were, they lost the first two, and then they came back and split the next two games, and then they won like five in a row. And so they're 6-4, and people are kind of like, oh, maybe they're for real. But then again, you look at their matchups. Okay, they beat Utah, and they beat New Orleans, but all these other teams, they beat the Grizzlies, who aren't bad, but Wizards, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, they haven't exactly played the cream of the crop, especially among Western Conference teams. So, yeah, I think they're improved. I like what I've seen out of a lot of their guys. I mean, I think I mentioned last year, I was a big De'Aaron Fox fan coming in, out of the draft. This is his second season. He's playing a lot better, averaging 18 points a game. He's shooting well over 50% from the floor, and his three-point shooting's holding fast around 36%. And he looks like a much better player. Could get his free throw percentages up a little bit. And Hield also is played really nicely. It got me thinking, maybe the Boogie Cousin trade, I mean, it wasn't great, but, getting Hield out of that deal, and I think they pick that they got in that deal was also, was it, I'll have to look it up. I think it was, that was a Harry Giles pick. I could be wrong. I'll have to look that up. And then the other surprise on this team has been Bielitsa, who we talked about the Sixers. He had at least had like some sort of handshake agreement with the Sixers to sign with them, and backed out and went to the Kings, and actually got a nice deal. But he's put up some nice numbers. He's having 14 points a game, which is, yeah, I mean, it's well above his career averages. And shooting like over 50% from three, which is crazy. So he's been a really nice piece of them. And I have my fantasy team, so I'm hoping that this trend continues. But nice story. I have a weird soft spot in my heart for the Kings. I don't know why. It'd be kind of interesting if they were good again, but I think they're going to fall back to earth.
No, you're probably right. And they'll eventually be joining in on the tankathon with the Bulls and the Suns and the Mavericks. We'll cover that one. We'll cover those teams next week, and the Hawks, right, and the Cavs, who fired Tyronn Lue after a few games, which is probably the most Sheeran firing to date, and kind of took us all for a loop that they would have been the first one to do the coaching firing really early. And it's like, well, if you're gonna do that, why didn't you just do it in the off season? Like, why'd you go through like five games first before
before you did it. Like, what was the point of that? Like, I didn't get that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Well, I mean, and I think the impetus was that the owner, Gilbert, really thought, he genuinely thought this team could make a playoff run, which I think is crazy. Absolutely not. Why would you think that? It's very silly. Anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, you talk about the Cavaliers are arguably as poorly run a franchise as there is in professional sports. I mean, they've just gotten insanely lucky. They drafted LeBron in a season when everyone knew LeBron James was going to be good coming out of high school. I mean, how many times did they get the number one pick? They got, you know, they were able to get Kyrie. I mean, they've just been insanely lucky in the lottery. And, you know, you could argue if they got all those other players and they didn't get LeBron, that you know, they're one of the worst teams in basketball year after year. Yeah, Gilbert is a terrible owner, and he's kind of succeeded. I mean, only because of one person, LeBron James, really. So I honestly didn't think they were going to be this bad. Just because I thought I never thought Love and LeBron coexisted very well. And I thought that, you know, having LeBron there forced Love to play in a way that really didn't fit his style of play. So I thought, you know, we might see a little bit of the old Kevin Love, and in a way we have, because he's been hurt a lot. So so yeah, it's been a big disappointment, and at least in my mind. And then and of course Ty Lue is the first coach fired, and it just shows you, you know, you look at teams and how they operate, and if you fire a coach less than 10 games into the season, it means that either, you know, something bad happened behind the scenes, or you just had crazy, ridiculous expectations for your team that that were just unrealistic. Yeah. And so I tend to think it's the latter. And you know, Ty Lue is, you know, he's getting paid to do nothing, which is, you know, it's good work if you can get it.
It's my dream to get paid to do nothing.
Millions of dollars, Dave.
Millions of dollars to get paid to do nothing. Oh, love the inefficiency of economics in sports. Just, you know, I don't know if you see it anywhere else. It's just funny how people can waste money like crazy on coaches and players, and just buy a guy out. Nah, we're paying you to not play. Like, that's the best. Just it's just because somebody else's mistake overpaying you in the first place. It's just like, it's too funny. Anyway, let's see. We've done enough bad teams. Let's see. Do you want to talk about the Lakers a bit? The heat that Magic Johnson is putting on Luke Walton, it's a little unusual to me. I'm like, why is he not giving him more of a chance to get his team out of the situation? It's not even like they're doing that badly, honestly. They played a really tough schedule over the first 5 to 6 games. Well, why is he so hard on him right now? I know that they haven't done anything defensively since over last year, but as I've been hearing around town, it's like you can't coach these guys to play defense. Some of these guys just aren't good at it. I mean, we've already talked about KCP. He stinks. We know that. A lot of these other perimeter guys are not really up to snuff either. I thought Hart was pretty good. Not great. Lonzo, you know, he's better, but still not great. Even LeBron is, honestly, his defense isn't that good anymore. Like, I think he's kind of fallen off a bit. So let me get your feeling for the Lakers from the other side of the country. What's your feeling on them right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're a bottom rung defensive team right now. And Yeah, I totally agree. LeBron kind of coasts through the season. I'm not exactly sure that's what he's doing right now, but he has the ability in the playoffs to turn it up a notch and play good defense. And we saw that last year. And I expect, you know, when they make the playoffs, and I do think they'll make the playoffs, that he'll do the same thing. But yeah, they're an awful defensive team. I mean, one thing about that relationship between Luke Walton and the front office is that these guys didn't hire Luke Walton, and they kind of inherited him. And, you know, he was kind of on shaky ground last year, if you think about it. And then, of course, then you add into the mix that LeBron has gotten every single coach for a team that he went to has been fired, except for Eric Spoelstra. That was the only one who I think is a legitimately good coach. If I were Luke, I'd be very, very worried. And I don't think he's necessarily a bad coach, but it seems to me that it's a political game. I don't know. You may have more insight on. You probably do have more insight on than I do because I'm not in that market. But I'm interested to watch more of this team just because I really thought that with all the young guys, like, you know, they could take the pressure off LeBron, and LeBron was talking about how he didn't want the ball in his hands as much as he has in years past. But every time I see them, I feel like it's the same thing. You know, you're seeing him, you know, controlling the ball and controlling the flow of the offense. I thought for sure that would change. But I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you think?
Well, I do think it's a different offense though, because it operates at a much faster pace than any LeBron offense before it. I've never seen so much passing in a LeBron James involved team. LeBron James is a good passer. I'm just saying, like, compared to what he used to do in Cleveland, compared to what he used to do in Miami, I don't remember there being so much cutting and passing and throwing the ball all the way down court to try to get a hoop. I mean, that the speed of this offense is so much better than I remember, and everything seemed to feed off of one another. So there was definitely a difference from that standpoint. But you probably are right in that I think in the end, LeBron still has a lot to say about what the offense does. One thing I noticed, and I wonder if you noticed it too, it doesn't seem like his ability to shoot from the outside is as good as it had been in years past. Now, we know that when he came up, he wasn't a great outside shooter to begin with, but I thought he'd be a little better than he is. And I'm not sure if it's just because it's early or what, but it was curious to me. Because he's getting a lot of his points in the paint, and that's good. But at the same time, when he does shoot from, let's say, 20 or 30 feet, it goes in sometimes. But it just doesn't feel like I can depend on it. And maybe that's just the way it's always been. This is the first time I've ever really been able to watch him every day.
Yeah.
But does it look as consistent to you, his outside shot, as it had been in previous years? Recently.
No, he's been, I mean, let's face it, he's been bad from outside. He's shooting under 30%. He's 28% from three.
That's not good. No, that's
not good. Really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I was right. I mean, my suspicion was right on that then. Yeah. No, he definitely has been falling off, right?
Definitely. Surprisingly, the leader on this team from 3-point range is Rondo.
Wow. Dang, that does not say much about your offense if that's the best. I mean, come on. You got Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, all these guys, and Rondo is your leading 3-point percentage guy.
Ball's up there too. Ball's shooting about 41%. Rondo's shooting 53% from three.
That's not gonna last. That's coming down. You know it's coming down. There's no way that stays up there. No way.
It's a bizarro world.
It really is. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers certainly have been more interesting so far. But we knew there were going to be holes. Like, we knew it from the beginning. Like, we knew it when the off season started. Like, these guys needed to improve their perimeter game. And I think you hire a bunch of vets like that. I mean, you'll get some degree of help, but clearly they need more, man, they need improvement in that area. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, with all the heavy amount of forward depth that they have, they've been able to make it all work. Ingram's having a nice start to the season. I haven't checked the stats, but we know about JaVale McGee. We've talked about him already on this program, but it's looking good. Kuzma had a really hot start, but I think he's leveled off quite a bit because I barely hear from him during some of these games now. So it's a work in progress, and I just feel like it's going to take time to figure out where all these guys are, which is why I'm so frustrated at Magic just going after Luke so much. You literally yelled at him, according to a report I read today. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, let the coach the team. Like, why? Yeah. I just don't get it. Like, it just... What, do you think you're going to find a better coach than him right now? I don't think so. I mean, I know he's got holes. I know that he can't... Walton has had a lot of problems closing out games. I understand that, but his system is working. I like the system. I can see people getting baskets with the system. The issue is defense. I understand it. But a lot of these guys just have been historically, it's just been deficient in defense the entire time. I don't think that suddenly that's going to change just because LeBron came to the team. And LeBron's defense isn't that great either these days. So I just don't understand it. Like, is it just this thing where he wants his guy? Because what I'm worried about is that if they do get rid of Luke Walton within the season, even though Magic said he's going to make it through the season, well, if they do get rid of him at some point, what's the alternative? Like, who is going to replace him at this point? I'm trying to think of guys that might be available.
Oh, Ty Lue. I don't know.
If that...
Plus, he's got a relationship with LeBron.
You know, it's funny. Somebody else brought that up. And I'm like, I'm saying to the guy, don't even go there. Don't even... If that happens... And I know Ty Lue is a former Laker, but if that happens, I am done. I am... taking a break from the franchise. I'm ceasing all operations of following that team, because that is the most ridiculous thing you could do as any controlling partner of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball franchise. That's just, you can't do that. You just can't. That's just the stupid thing. It's dumb. We've talked forever about how bad he's a coach. So, no, I'm not into that. I know you were just giving me a hard time, but it's still... You just can't. You can't do that. I was just like, come on. So, I just don't. You know, to me, I know that there are holes with this lineup. There are holes with the coaching. The assistant coaches probably aren't doing much either. But why not just ride it out? You know, I don't think they're going to be horrible, and we'll see. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Take it from there. So,
yeah, there's one other footnote is we were just talking about 3-point shooting, and one of the guys I was looking at in particular was KCP, who actually career wise is actually pretty good. I think he shot about 38% last year from three. This year, 21.7 from behind the arc.
That is such a hoax. The entire contract. It's just the whole thing. You know, I'm serious. It's a total fraud. The whole thing was like, it's like a PSL in football. Like, this is like the Lakers PSL. They have to pay for this clown. He's a joke. LeBron.
He has LeBron's agent, which is on the plus side though. He it's only a 1-year deal. So, but I really thought he was going to be the guy, and maybe he will be, but I thought of all, you know, who was going to step forward and be that outside threat. I mean, he's not, you know, I mean, this is not Kyle Korver. He's not on that level, but, you know, he can shoot the three, but man, he's been such a disappointment.
That is
interestingly, Ball though has been very good. I mean, he's he's averaging almost five threes a game. He's making, you know, 46%. That's solid. I mean, he's kind of upped his game quite a bit. How's he look to you?
No, first of all, he looks a lot bigger. He's really bulked up in the offseason. Yeah. Like, he's added a lot of muscle. Secondly, yeah, I think his shot has improved a lot. It's not as flat as it was a year ago. And it is, and the results are showing up in the stats. Like, he's gotten much better at shooting the ball. Obviously, his passing game has been sterling from the beginning, and it continues to be. We don't see as much of him, I think, because of all the veterans that they now have, but I have no complaints. I think he's done a pretty good job. I don't really have a complete read on his defense. I think his defense is okay, but not upper level defense. Nobody on this team has upper level defense. Let's be honest. Like, the one guy that's playing like at an elite level defensively is McGee. That's it. I mean, Brandon Ingram has great footwork, but that's on the offensive end. I'm not really seeing the same amount of impact on the other side. And a similar situation for Kuzma is, you know, like, he gets rebounds, certainly. He can fill a stat sheet, but do you consider him a great defender? Let me ask that to you. Do you think that Kuzma is a great defender right now?
No, I don't. I think you're right. I don't think there are great defensive players. Even Rondo has that reputation, but I wouldn't say he's great at this point in his career. Yeah, you know what's funny? I was just thinking about that game the other night against Portland. This is just a weird, freakish stat. They won that game in Portland, if I'm not mistaken, you said was their first win in 16 appearances in Portland. Was that right? So it'd be like, yeah, like cover 8 years of straight losing.
What I don't remember about that is if that's 16 versus Portland altogether or 16 at Portland, but it feels like it could be both even, but they really hadn't won in Portland in a long time. I think it was like 2008 or something last time they won up there. So that's probably right. Like,
I think it's on the road. If I remember correctly,
that would make sense.
Portland hasn't that good that I would think that they would be winning in Los Angeles. Although the Lakers,
have been that bad.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I'll have to look that one up. But the stat that jumped out at me in that win, which is I don't ever remember seeing this. I was looking at plus minuses in that box score, and every single Lakers starter was in the negative in plus minus, and the bench, every single bench player was well in the positive on that side.
Right,
which is just I don't think I've ever seen that. Again, I haven't studied the box scores that much, but that is just a very strange stat where the bench just dominated and basically won the game.
Yeah.
Led by Rondo, who was a plus 28, which is nuts. But I feel like they're in that mode where they're just kind of figuring things out. I still think they need another shooter though, Dave. I really do. And I felt that was a big need for them, and I thought they could they could land a fairly cheap option in the offseason. And just like some of their moves, we kind of joked around about it, but some of their moves were mild head scratchers to me, like Lance Stevenson. I think if they could, if they could get that outside guy who can maybe play a little defense, they'll start to fall into place. But they haven't exactly been bad from the outside though either. KCP's been a disappointment, but like, we pointed out, it's kind of been evened out by the fact that Ball has been fantastic and so has Rondo's been good and to a lesser extent. So
yeah. That streak, by the way, was a 16 game overall streak, which then means it extends back.
So 16 overall will be about 4 years.
About 4 years, yeah. So which covers a lot of the period of what is the word? The you know, when you're really bad.
the period when you're really bad, the Phoenix Suns. is that the word you're looking for?
No, but it is basically
the Orlando Magic
when they were the Phoenix Suns for 4 years. Yes, and Magic too. Yeah, that's true. Oh man, but so that, yeah, it does cover quite a bit of that era. So that's all for the Lakers right now. People need to calm down, especially Magic. I don't get it. I'm just not. I see good things with that coaching staff, but yes, I know that they're not perfect. I get it. It's just, yeah, let it breathe. That's it. Okay, so we haven't covered any of the we haven't covered the top teams yet. Here they are: Toronto at 10-1, just doing a great job with Kawhi. Like, he's just really given them a completely brand new face of the team. Has been doing a tremendous job. That whole team is very loaded. It's deep. It's got a great bench. They really have been terrific. Milwaukee, basically the same team, but Coach Budenholzer has been great. And they got a game tonight. In fact, they probably just started, so you might be watching it as we speak, against Portland. So I don't know who to pick in that game. That's why, you know, I didn't put any investment into it. Because while the Bucks are as hot as they are and their defense has improved an amazing amount, I still think that they are going to end up being a, I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be some cooling down of that record, but I think they are good. I honestly think they're the real thing. Warriors, we've talked enough about them, and they're 10-1. Who cares? Like, it's all the same stuff. The only thing we're really going to talk about with them right now. In the regular season, what happens when DeMarcus Cousins starts playing? That's not for months. I'm not even talking about them tonight. That's a waste of time. It is, though. I mean, they're so good. What am I to say? Well, Steph Curry had another 50-point night, or Klay Thompson had another 50-point night. Like, it's just like every game, it's somebody's having a 50-point night. I'm not wasting my time with them.
But that's kind of fun, though. Like, they're kind of like showcasing these guys. One night, Steph goes for 50. And then, like, Clay is like, he breaks a record for 3-pointers in the game.
Against the Bulls. That's the best part.
I don't care, man. Like, that's impressive.
No,
I'm not.
I didn't mean that as a knock. I just was saying funny that it's just the Bulls end up in the middle of that. But, no, it is impressive, and it's very fun to watch. It's just that there's nothing to talk about because they're just so good. And you're right. It's been great to see the excellence in which they play. I didn't even bring up Durant, who's having a big season so far, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I mean, they're deep. I want to go back to actually the little hidden gem on Golden State is Alphonso McKinney. Have you heard of this guy?
Oh, yeah, he was good. You know, I saw him play against Memphis last night, and he is sneaky good. You're right.
He's been great. They got him from Toronto. I think he was an undrafted player out of, like, Wisconsin, Green Bay, or something like that. And his per 36 minutes numbers are insane. Like, he's averaging, let's see, in terms of for per 36, yeah, he's averaging like 16 points per game. I mean, he's playing limited minutes, Dave. He's only playing, he's only playing per game. Kenny, sorry, I should have this up here. Yeah, about 14 minutes a game, which is, sort of lower end of the bench numbers, but he's making the most of it, and he's really been kind of a surprise. A 6'7" guy out of I got to double check this. Yeah, Wisconsin, Green Bay, undrafted, was on the Raptors last year, and we like to talk about the Warriors bench. Well, he's been a nice addition to that bench. So just a little guy flying under the radar. Milwaukee, though, you're right. I mean, they are – I like to look at – as you can tell, I like to look at the offensive defensive ratings. You said they're a good defensive team. They're the top defensive team in basketball right now.
That's impressive.
After the Celtics lost last night, the Bucks surpassed them. And they are number 4 in offense. So their actual net rating, That's their offensive rating minus their defensive rating is higher than Golden State's. I liked them from the beginning. I didn't think they'd get off to this hot a start, but I'll have to go back to the tape from last time, but I'm pretty sure I had them number four. I was raving about them last time.
Yeah.
Because I liked, yeah, I mean, obviously you like Giannis, but I just like that makeup of the team where it's almost like a LeBron team where you have this big guy with the ball in his hands a lot, and then you have a bunch of guys on the outside who can shoot. And you know, and they do have a bunch of those guys. You know, we talk about Middleton and Brogdon. They have Ilyasova, who we were talking about earlier with the Sixers. DiVincenzo's pretty good. And even Brolo, they have Brook Lopez, and they've been putting Brook on, like, you know, they've been putting him out on the wing and just, or in the corners there. And you know, Greek Freak will draw the coverage. You know, he'll drive into the basket and kick it out, and all those guys can hit that shot. So, very fun team to watch, and I'm happy. I always, you know, I'm a big fan of Coach Bud. I think he's, you know, I think he's really solid, and I think he kind of got a raw deal here after he did a nice job in Atlanta. He had that 160 win season here, and they were the one seed, even though they didn't do anything with it. But I'm glad he found a nice landing place. And the Bucks are one of those teams, like, he kind of, they're almost like the Sacramento Kings of the. Well, no, that's not fair. I meant that in a way, like, you kind of forget about them because they're, you know, it's a small market and so forth. But yeah, it's kind of fun when they're good. I don't know why. It's just like one of those fun teams. And I'm glad. Like I said, I'm glad that Bud found a landing spot. And you know, there aren't that many coaches openings, and when you get one where you got like a top three player in the league, that's pretty good. So I'm excited to watch some more of them, and they're you know, actually they're a good example of a league pass team, because, you know, they're not going to be on a whole bunch just because it's such a, you know, Milwaukee just flies under the radar, so it's not like TNT is loading up the schedule with them. So
That's unfortunate from their part. I mean, they're losing out on some pretty exciting basketball. It's a fun team to watch.
Definitely.
Yeah. One more. Denver Nuggets 9-1. Now, I heard you in our messaging. You weren't really buying them. And I know that there was a contentious game between the Nuggets and the Celtics last night in Denver. Jamal Murray with just the ultimate dick move. Shooting at the buzzer, the Nuggets were already up by 11. Shooting at the buzzer so he could try to get 50 points, and I cannot imagine that the Celtics were too happy about that.
Yeah, I kind of cooled off on it afterwards. I was thinking, you know what? He's a kid. I mean, he's a second year player, and he wanted to get 50, and he missed it. I thought it was funny because he took the last two shots. For the Nuggets, one was a little bunny. I mean, he missed a layup. So I as I thought about it, I was like, it's not that big a deal, you know? It really isn't. I mean, and the Celtics blew that game, and they jumped out to a huge lead early. We'll talk about Denver. I'm not buying them. I think they were 9-1. I don't think that they're top of the West division team. I don't think they'll be the two seed. I think they're very good. I mean, this is a team that narrowly missed the playoffs last year by one game, if I'm not mistaken. And but I think, you know, they've matured, and they have one of the best centers in basketball, and Jokic. And Murray's, you know, Murray's nice. He's a nice player. I don't think he's not necessarily what you look for in a point guard. I mean, he's not that, like, you know, he's not that, like, pass first point guard. I mean, he's going to be gunning, Dave. But they do have a nice, you know, they have a nice deep guard rotation, and they're fun to watch. But I was, yeah, I was a little ticked off last night. mostly at the Celtics, to be honest.
Oh, just yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they jumped after that huge lead early, and I think they had like a 14-point lead after one quarter. And it was beautiful because they were moving the ball around, and they were, I mean, obviously hitting shots, and I think they shot like 60% from the floor in the first quarter. And then the second quarter happened, and they just, you know, the passing wasn't as crisp, and they were a little bit more hero ball, and Kyrie had a nice game, but yeah, just they just kind of fell into bad habits. And one of the things that I've been noticing about the Celtics, and I've brought it up to you, is that they're not taking a lot of free throws. And a lot of that is their own fault because they're not going hard to the basket, and they're settling for threes. And when you do that, you're not going to the line as much. And as Mike says, you know, the easiest shot is the one that's uncontested from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was disappointing, but I don't want to take too much away from Denver. I think they're very good. They haven't played a ridiculously tough schedule to this point. I mean, they did beat the Warriors, so that's impressive. And yeah, wins against the Pelicans, but they, you know, look, they played the Bulls, they played the Cavs, they played the Clippers, but they played the Suns. I mean, and the Kings. So they had
a close game against the Bulls too, didn't they? Like they had to go to overtime or something crazy like that.
You're absolutely right. They won by one in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah, good memory, Dave.
that's pretty
random. So yeah, no, that's right. You had. You thought they lost because you had them. What was it? Was it Denver minus three or something like that?
I think
they only won by one.
I think I had them like minus 11. Wait, let me go look that up. I actually document what my investments are here. So what was that last week? Let me see.
It was on, yeah, October 31 was Halloween game.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I think I have it. Oh, yeah. They were giving eight.
Oh, it was eight. Oh, okay. Wow.
Jeez.
And they won by one.
They won by one. Yeah, I mean, they were at Chicago. I mean, you thought, well, they seemed like an easy game. I mean, the Warriors poured it all over them and ended going to overtime. And yeah, you're right. That was kind of ridiculous. I was just like, but they did. I did actually think they lost. It was funny. The next day, you were like, they won? They won the game? I didn't even notice that.
It felt like a loss to you. I get it.
It probably felt like a loss to the Denver fans because they're like, how are we in this game with Chicago? They lost by 90 points to Golden State. How are we blowing? You know, it's good that they won. I mean, that would have been pretty rough. But I think the point, the takeaway from all of this is that you're right. They're not a 9-1 team. They're not going to be top three seed. There's no way. They don't have the depth. I don't think they have. The defense is decent. So I'm not going to go. I think the defense is not the problem, but it's tough to be convinced by them right now. Because if you talk about who are the superstars on the Denver Nuggets right now compared to who are the superstars in Milwaukee, those are, you know, Milwaukee has a very easy choice for superstar. Lakers do. Even the Spurs do. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is he an all-star? I think he is, but he's good enough to be one. I don't know if he actually
he was an all-star last year.
Okay, so he did finally. West, he did get an all-star. Yeah, he did last year. Okay.
Yep.
So he's an all-star.
Yeah.
And I know that Jokic will be an all-star at some point. And Murray.
Oh,
is,
he must have been last year. He had to have been.
Yeah, you know what? I think he was.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure he was an all-star.
I mean, he's an exciting player to watch, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
great passer. Really good player.
They have good players. It's a fun. I mean, there's upside, but there's still so many holes with them. I'm in the same boat with you. I just think that this is going to eventually end up being like a 5 or 6 seed in the end.
And yeah.
Although you were saying they wouldn't even make the playoffs. You really were pissed last night.
I was a little ticked off. They're going to make the playoffs.
Maybe ninth.
They're going to make the playoffs. I'll tell you what I do like is I was talking about the guard rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murray, Gary Harris, and Will Barton. It's a really – and then, you know, don't forget, they have Isaiah Thomas too, who hasn't played for them yet, but who – you know, who's expected to be back. And so they have, you know, they do have like decent depth in the backcourt. And Hernan Gomez has actually played nicely as a backup to Jokic. So, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting team just cause they're very young and, yeah, I mean, I think Mike Malone's a pretty good coach, and they actually are playing good defense. But again, you know, I can't go crazy because they haven't really, outside of the Warriors and the Celtics and maybe one other team, they haven't played a super strong schedule. So I'll hold off on that. And they also got Paul Millsap back, and he basically missed the entire year last year. So getting him in the front court, another scoring option. You know, he's getting kind of old. He's at that magical 33, going on 34 age. So, it'll be fun to watch. I mean, they are fun to watch. I overreacted. They're going to be a playoff team this year. But who knows, man? It's so crazy. The West is so like, it's just all these teams are really, really, really close. I think they've separated themselves like enough, but it's just, you know, you got Portland, you got Utah, you got the Warriors, you got the Rockets, the Spurs. I mean, all these teams can, the Clippers, Lakers, all these teams could potentially be a playoff team. So yeah. There could be good teams that are left out. Probably two good teams that are going to be in the lottery because the West is so stacked.
Two teams, good teams in the lottery. Yeah. I mean,
that
it wouldn't surprise me. One team that I think is going to definitely be the odd man out, this is just my opinion, but I think the Pelicans are going to be not a part of the show, in my opinion.
That's interesting, yeah.
You know why I think that? Because, you know, some of the key components to last year's playoff run for that team aren't on the team. Like, Rondo was a big part of their success in the playoffs, and he's on a different team now. And DeMarcus Cousins, probably not as big of a factor in the end anyway, because, you know, when he got hurt, that was obviously big news, but ultimately it gave more opportunity for Davis to be a dominant, and that's fine. But, you know, I just don't see any real tangible talent around him right now, like nothing serious. And so it's going to be up to him to score like 40 points in order for them to win most of these games. So I just can't take that team seriously. I just think there's not enough going on there. I mean, Nerlens Noel, give me a break. Like, that's not going to do much for me. I don't even know if he's there, but he was.
No, Nerlens Noel's on Oklahoma City.
Oh, okay. So he's not there anymore.
Yeah, but they have your boy Randall. He's been good.
I do like Julius Randle. I do, yeah. But it's still not going to be. I mean, where's the defense going to come from, right? Like, where are they going to get
the
guard?
Dude, their defense is horrendous.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah. So, I mean, and so it's a very flawed team. I just can't see that team doing much in the end. Like, maybe they'll end up being – maybe they'll win between 30 and 40 games. But, I mean, I don't really see them making the playoffs.
That's interesting. Yeah, I got to say I did not see that at the beginning of the year. One thing about them is that they seem to play very up-tempo because if you look at their results, I mean, they were like – and early on, I think they won their first four or five games just straight out of the chute, and they were 4-0, and everyone was like high on them, and they were scoring tons of points. Yeah, they scored 131 against the Rockets at Houston, and they won that game. And then they demolished Sacramento, won by 20, 149 to 129, 116. They're playing like these super fast paced games, like just and then, you know, like I said, they got off to this huge start and then they lost their next six. So they went, they started 4-0 and then they lost six in a row. And that's kind of where we are. And the defense has been atrocious the whole way. And they're a bottom five team in defense. And I almost wonder if, like, offensively they can sustain that. I mean, like, a big part, like you pointed out, Rondo was a huge part of that team last year. Drew Holiday had some unbelievable games against against Portland in that first round when they pulled off that upset.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I think it, you know, that might be a solid call. I don't feel like here's the thing. They're going to be one of those teams that's going to be at the bottom. And this is where they were last year, to be in fairness.
Yeah.
And they're going to be,
that's true.
They're going to be fighting for one of those last two playoff spots.
And
the fact that they may not make it doesn't mean they're a bad team either. That's the crazy part, Dave.
I think
they'll be very good, and they may not miss it.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're not going to be bad, but they're just not going to be that. They're not going to be great. It's just the depth isn't there. Like their bench is really bad. I'm looking at the roster. I mean, Nikola Mirotic is all right, but then you got Elfrid Payton, right? I hear the name a lot. I don't really see him doing anything, but I hear the name.
You weren't locked in on those Magic teams?
No, the last five years. And then they're trying to get Jahlil Okafor going.
Elfrid Payton, interestingly, he has a new look. If you're familiar with Elfrid Payton, he had that crazy haircut where he almost had like a, his hair was almost like a wedge shape in the front. And
you
won't recognize him anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he shaved that off.
Oh, wow.
Completely different looking.
Yeah.
I like a lot of their players. I like Randall and Mirotic was a solid pickup for them. And he's scoring a lot, and he's a nice player. But, after you get past their starting five, you're right. Especially from a scoring perspective, I just don't really like that team. I don't like a lot of their bench scorers. That is a problem. Definitely, that is a problem.
Yeah, and I seem to remember there being a little bit of that problem last year, but I just think this year it'll be even more so. So it's just, yeah, I think that any team's going to have their way as far as what they do against them offensively, and then the other way, you'll have some advantages once we go to bench play. You know, a lot of these teams in the West have good benches, and I think the Lakers might even qualify as one of those teams, and the Clippers definitely do. We know the Warriors do. All these teams are deep. So when you have a guy that's fed off of like two or three guys, like, you might get away with that in the East, but in the West, it's just not going to be enough to compete, to stay with everybody else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I wasn't even thinking about that perspective, but yeah, they really need like another scorer, in my opinion. Even though scoring's up, like I just feel like they, when we go to their bench, you're looking at like Elfrid Payton and Solomon Hill. It's not, you don't get excited about that squad.
Are you familiar with Frank Jackson or Etuan Moore?
Etuan Moore went to Purdue, I think. He was a draft pick of the Celtics. He's actually turned into a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
And can shoot the three. He's a nice, he's shooting 48% from three this year. He was a second round pick of the Celtics about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and has turned into like a pretty nice player. He's solid, but yeah, I'm just not a fan of like a lot of these other guys.
Yeah. All right, well, I think this is a good place to end. I mean, we've got a good rundown of where we are right now in the early going. Obviously, a lot of things can change, but I do think a lot of these teams are going to hold up and be about where they are now, and we've given you a little feel for which ones we think are going to make a move, positive or negative, as we go through the season. It's clear that I think the Wizards are done. They're going to have to make a huge trade to have any, to be even be relevant this year. They're done. Like, I'm done with them. I've been done. I mean, I guess I have this bias against them anyway, but we're done. Like, you're done, I'm done, and I'm pretty sure the fans are done too.
Well, I mean, we talk about coaches on the hot seat, and it's like Scotty Brooks, and then it's just like, I don't think Scotty Brooks is great, but at a certain point, it's like someone should have been addressing that chemistry issue.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, you know, the Wall Beal thing, like I said, we've known that's a problem for years. And like, they played better last year when Wall got hurt.
Yeah.
And everyone was happier. And their big move was shipping out Gortat. And I mean, Gortat and Wall hated each other, but you got to do something. And it's like, Beal was not the guy you want to trade, I think. First of all, like, Wall's contract is horrendous and it's probably unmovable. But you got to, like, you got to shake it up. I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a deal out there and you can pick up, you know, you can pick up someone else's bad contracts, but, you know, do whatever you can to get Wall off that team is my opinion there. But like I said, you know, like if you get rid of Scotty Brooks, you're still like in a bad spot because Ernie Grunfeld has been overseeing this team for, you know, over a decade. And at this point, it's like, at what point does he own the problems that this team has?
Yeah, it's a very good call. I think, do you know, you were saying that he could be the next guy taken down this year, the next coach fired?
Scotty Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he will be. Yeah, I really right. do. But I said, it's just like, that's just like, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a chest wound, you know?
Yeah, there's much more. You're right. Why haven't they done this by now? Like, why haven't they traded one of the two by now? You'd think that would be in effect. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my Eastern Conference implosion team. West, it was going to be Minnesota, and then I had to back away from that because everyone knew it was going to be, you know, look like a train wreck, even though they haven't played too terribly, but I just still think they're a mess.
Right.
And look, chemistry issues on both those teams, really bad chemistry issues. So
yeah,
says a lot.
For sure. So with that, we say goodnight. And thanks for following along, for being a part of it with me. We'll be back next week and we've got more NBA stuff to talk about and we'll do it from there. So thanks again. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, I'm just watching the Nets. They're up 14 on the Suns. So go Nets, man. I'm a big fan of this rebuild and this team and Caris LeVert and the whole bit. And they're exciting. So I leave you with that. Nets basketball. And thanks again for having me. This was a lot of fun.
For sure. All the best, man. So we'll take care and see you next time, buddy.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. That's Chris in Georgia. And that's our show tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. NBA report back at it for the season and more to come as we go through the ups and downs of everything in the association. We're back tomorrow. We're going to have our football pick show. We may have a bonus election coverage program as well. I'm Dave Medina at DickCal on Twitter, DickCal.com on the web. We'll see you next time.